Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle-working business, beloved. Greetings, this is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And with the Lord's help, we're going to continue sharing a message I've entitled Serpents of the Soul. And I read a passage of Scripture yesterday found in Numbers, the 21st chapter, verses 4 through 9. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to read the salient portions as far as the subject matter, which is discouragement, something I think we can all relate and are quite familiar with at times in our Christian walk. Verse 4, and they, that's the people of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, saying, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I'll pause here. That word in the King James, which I'm translation I'm reading, that word, the verb loatheth, is that word loathe, the actual word that by definition means to dislike greatly and often with disgust or intolerance. The noun is basically hate or extreme disgust. Let me go on reading now verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and God had instructed him to make the brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and all those who looked upon it, had they been bitten, would be saved. They would not lose their life. And what I feel the Lord would have me share is that discouragement, while it might start out not in a severe or serious way, sometimes we're just tired, physically tired, emotionally tired, mentally tired, spiritually tired because of a battle. And there seems, even though we're praying, doing all we know to do, it doesn't seem to be moving, the answers aren't forthcoming, nothing is lifting, and we get discouraged. And that is a very human trait. It's what happens when it's our natural man responding to the circumstances that are immediately affecting us. Remember, that happened to Elijah. That's what sent him into that cave, and the Lord speaks to him. He says, Elijah, what are you doing? And he appears to him in the fire and in the wind and the earthquake, and the Lord's in none of those but a still small voice. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah was discouraged. He said, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. He was discouraged because he had hoped to see a tremendous national revival in Israel. Remember, he, you know, 400 of the Baal prophets were killed. I mean, he called down fire from heaven. He gave them all day to call on their God. And Elijah said, let the God that be God answer by fire. So there was a tremendous demonstration of the power of God, that Elijah was the servant of God, but he got discouraged. And as we look at, sometimes I think about the life of Jesus, and we know that scripture that says he was tested in every point as we are, and yet did not sin. In fact, there's a scripture, as I've read this in the Gospel of Luke, if you recall in that ninth chapter, and it's verse 41, or just before that, Jesus had, in just a few verses before that, it's recorded those marvelous events that happen on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter and John and James were with him, and they saw the voice. They saw Jesus transfigured in a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And anyway, just after that, on the next day, a man of a group out of the crowd spoke to Jesus, and he said, "I beseech thee, Lord, look upon my son, for he's my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruiseth him, hardly departing from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." And of course he cast the devil out of him. Jesus was without sin, but he was tempted with frustration, impatience, discouragement. There were things the Father asked of him that he didn't want to do. For example, we know that from his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, as a man, he feared, he did not want to do what the Father was asking him. And so he said, "Lord, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me." He knew that there, if God chose, the Father chose, there could be another plan or way of salvation. But he said, "Nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And of course, that was the will of God. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he suffered unspeakable agonies and ridicule and sufferings on the cross, not just physically, but emotionally. The very presence of the Father departed from him, but he was willing to do that. So Jesus encountered all the things that we go through. And surely, while it's not outlined, we must know that he faced the potential, the temptation to be discouraged. And yet he did not sin, because he is our perfect example. But what God showed me is that when we allow discouragement to come, even though it may be not tremendously strong, just a little bit of discouragement, that's, what, as I said, what happened to Elijah. And he felt he was the only prophet of the Lord serving God that was zealous for the Lord. He said, "The Lord said, what are you doing here? I've been very zealous." He repeats it twice. And the Lord reminds him, "No, I have 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knees to Baal or kissed him." In other words, there were faithful believers there, even though he felt he was the only one. And that's how discouragement, it starts just a little ways, and then if we're not careful, it can take us to the place that occurred to the children of Israel. He said in his word, we find that in verse 4, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And they came from being just a little uncomfortable to full-blown discouragement. And what did that bring about? Well, beloved, it can happen the same in our lives. They loathed that light bread. That was miracle bread. It means to hate or to have extreme disgust or intolerance, to dislike greatly. And so, beloved, there is a process which occurs when we let the enemy get to us with the faintest hint of discouragement. Our actions many times can parallel the children of Israel. What is going on here? Well, first of all, there was a lack of spiritual understanding. They began speaking against God and scriptural authority. In other words, they confessed that. In verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, "After the fiery serpents," and that's how prophetic is that? We'll look at that. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." Moses prayed, and God honored that prayer. But they became critical, judgmental, and complaining. That's the exact same thing that can happen to us. They began becoming much more vehement. Instead of just having a feeling, an attitude, an emotion of discouragement, they begin becoming much more active. Sin, when it's full blown, right? they speak out. And not only those who are the most vocal are discouraging their neighbors. And so all of Israel, that's what happened with the 12 spies. Remember, they were sent into Canaan land to spy out the land. Only two had a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of the people said, oh yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there's great and walled cities, but there are giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and that we can't do this. The fact that God had done powerful miracles in the land of Egypt and brought them forth with a mighty hand, parted the Red Sea, come on, still they got discouraged when they saw what was in the land of Canaan. This is the carnal man all over the place, right? And we're not much better. Unless we're walking in the Spirit, we can do the same thing. So they did not understand what God was doing. Okay, Sister Judith, what was God doing? Well, we see an example found in Exodus, the 16th chapter. And as we look at verse 4, we see exactly what was going on. Then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. That's manna. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, listen, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And my time is getting away from me. There's another passage that is very clear that describes what was God doing with the people of Israel. Well, beloved, let me share with you, He does the same with us. Praise God. Well, on that note, I give you an invitation, not to leave you in suspense, but join me tomorrow at the same time. And if you're not able to listen to the broadcast, I do invite you to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. They are archived there for a number of years. So with that, I thank you for listening. I thank you for your prayer support, UCM partners. I bless you in the name of the Lord, my radio family. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you to write, share your prayer needs, please do that, for He has a reason that He has for moving on you that way. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.